As I was saying, this original sermon through Matthew on this section of Matthew chapter 6, the broader context on not having anxiety and worry, is the most listened to sermon on our website, though not nearly the oldest. I recall my professor in seminary for preaching said it was these kinds of topics that would get the most listens to. We have a challenge with being able to live in the day and not to worry about tomorrow. So I'm coming to this text because I needed it, if you don't mind, but I know from talking with you and hearing from many of you, I'm pretty sure you could use this reminder refresher course as well. And I needed it partly because I just couldn't get to where I expected to be this week back in Deuteronomy and Philippians. And of course, I want to give them proper attention. The research is done, but I want proper attention to think about how to organize sermons for you. And I was feeling frustrated that I couldn't, and frustrated with my days and how my days went. So I need this, but whatever the reason may be, I think we can often feel like this is all we were able to accomplish today, and I hope it'll be encouragement for us. I have been frustrated, and I hope that this verse will help me calm down, as we looked at last week with Psalm 116, verse 7, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." This is also a scripture that causes us to change how we think and speak to ourselves. Hear now the word of God, Matthew 6, verse 34. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Let me read it one more time. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And the part I really want us to think about today, although we'll look at the context, is sufficient unto the day. Today is enough. And frankly, today is all there is. We'll look at some other scriptures. Sufficient for today. Just live in the day. The message for you from the text will be, live your life one day at a time. Live your life one day at a time. And some of you who are particularly task-oriented as myself and perfectionists, although I'm more and more being humbled by the Lord, not so trying to, more aware to just accept my imperfections, we need to hear this. Live your life one day at a time. I have been frustrated with what I've not been able to get to. Where I'm very, very behind on all of my jobs, both my jobs and things in family, I'm feeling like I'm failing. I feel like a failure, and I don't want to say that. I know you guys don't want me to feel that way. It's not your fault. It's just the way I can be. I'm sure you guys feel this way too. I know moms, some of our moms with little kids in the house. I'm seeing nodding heads. I had you in mind, not only you, but you know, we can look around our house and say, "That's all I accomplished today." Well, let's remember the Lord says, if you have food and clothing, be content. Well, did you feed your kids and put clothes on them? Praise the Lord. You know, some of you are lying each day facing treatment for cancer. Some of you are dealing with ailments, not able to nearly do what you used to do not so long ago. We are so aware of our weaknesses and our limitations. We are so convicted and struggling with what we are not able to accomplish. And we can feel like we're wasting our day. And because we're so concerned with what about where we had hoped to be set up for tomorrow and the days to come. Just let today be sufficient, helpful. Tomorrow feels like a day I'll never catch up to. Can you relate to that? Though I am constantly chasing it, and so many of the tasks on my list that have to be put off again and again to the next day and the next weeks and the next months behind and sometimes the next years. You know, one thing I was encouraged about on my tornado desk, which I am embarrassed about, and soon we'll be getting an office in the home, and then I have to organize my desk, looking for accountability again, especially for my wife's sake. And to be fair, it's horrible. But I was trying to organize my shuffled mess a little bit. I mean, I like to work with organized messes, but this is unorganized messes out of control. And I found a memo sticky note with all these scribbles on it. I'm like, what is this? But I'm like, oh, oh, that's one of the things I was going crazy trying to make sure I got done. It's done. I put it in the garbage. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. I needed that after thinking about this today. So the Lord does get things done, and later on you might be more able to see that you've gotten things done. Today can often feel, however, like a blur of tornadoes. I can miss the moment of all that's wonderful and accomplished in today because of it. And I can miss how God is taking care of it all and is in it all and is pleased with my sincere trying to do what I can. Faith is accepting. Faith is accepting, among other things, faith is accepting I can't get it all done. And that God accepts me and whatever I've been able to get to for now. Christians must not worry about tomorrow because serving God the best you can today is plenty to focus on, and He has it all taken care of. I give that to you as the main idea of the verse in its context. Christians must not worry about tomorrow because serving God the best you can today is plenty to focus on, and He has it all taken care of. So take no thought. Notice it says at the beginning, take therefore no thought. This is a major theme in the context. It means don't be anxious, don't worry, but I really like that we have take no thought because it's all about our thinking. Philippians 4, remember, don't think about that, think about this. And then you'll learn how to have peace and be content. It's a thinking process. Christianity is a thinking man's religion. The feelings follow. Don't ever get that out of order, trust me. We can all say amen to that, amen? Don't get it out of order. Take no thought. Stop thinking about that, Jesus says. And in this case, don't think about tomorrow. Stop. Stop thinking about tomorrow. It's a main theme. Verses 25, 31, 34, and verses 27 and 28, he keeps saying, don't think about that. Take no thought. That is, change your habitual thought process. Don't be fearful how you're going to take care of yourself with clothes, with food, etc. That's the context. Don't think about the food. Don't think about the clothes. Don't think about what the pagans think about these things. Christians don't think like that. They trust their Father. And that's the next theme. Don't just stop thinking about some things. Replace those thoughts with thinking about something else. And what does he want you to think about? How God is always going to provide. How God has always been taking care of you. Verses 26, 28, and 32. Behold the birds. Look at the lilies. When we were walking in today, Gabriel said, hey, you see the bird on the gate? I was like, where? No, I don't. It was so blending in the color. Oh, yeah. How perfect timing. Look at the bird. Exactly. Jesus says that. Look at those birds. God's always taking care of them. Stop and look at the birds today. Might not be in there tomorrow, but they're there right now to witness to you. Look at the flowers. Stop and smell the roses. He says, look at these things. Look how God is always taking care of you. Think about that. Think about how many days you worried for no good reason. Of course, what's one of those famous statements? When you worry today, when you worry about tomorrow, you rob yourself of the joy you could have had today. It's right there waiting for you to embrace, including the smelly diapers. I'm not saying like literally embrace the diapers. Get rid of those as soon as possible. But, you know, just enjoy all of those things. As the fact that you have life, and you have babies, and you have brothers and sisters, and you have a church, and you have a job, and you have all these opportunities. When something breaks down, I'm thankful that I have it, and there's a way to fix it. Think about how God has always taken care of you through all those things. Think about how it would be if you didn't have those things, especially one another and our children. And remember, he's always taking care. Behold, consider, seek the birds, the lilies, today and heaven, he says. Get your perspective right. Trust that God has your future in his hand. Because he says, look at the present and look at the past. He always has, he always will. So enjoy today. You're missing the moment. You're missing the moment. You can put your hands to work the best you can in today and not throw them up in fretful forfeit. The sermon on the broader text, verses 25 to 34, the message was, keep changing how you think. Keep changing the way you think so that you can focus on today. And notice, it's interesting, he closes in verse 34. He closes the whole section, don't worry about tomorrow, focus on now. Just enjoy now. Don't worry about whatever you don't get done and whatever the mess is and whatever things haven't been taken care of and real problems sometimes, real serious issues sometimes. You just have to let today be enough. This whatever was taken care of, that's all that's going to be done today. God's got everything else in his hand. Because fear focuses on things about tomorrow, but things about tomorrow are uncertain. Faith focuses on God today. Today is reality. It's the only reality you and I, finite persons, have anything to do with. Fear is seen in worry, and worry is not trusting God. And let me say again, anxiety and worry is a sin. It's something some of us like to make our whole identity, but it's a sin. Our identity is in Christ, who calls us not to worry, but to trust him. That doesn't mean you can't say, oh boy, this is tough, or oh, I'm exhausted, or hey, I've been talking a lot about, you've had to hear it a lot, our baby won't let us sleep. But what do we try to remember? He sure is cute, you know. And yeah, he's teething. You know, I'm sure my mother almost threw me out the window, but thankfully she didn't. You know what I mean? Let alone, you know, I was mindful recently that Roe versus Wade was, I didn't remember, but apparently 1973. I was born in 1974, and I was happy to think, thank you, Lord, my mother chose to have me. I could be not worrying about anything ever, you know. We have so much to just trust the Lord with. Fear is seen in worrying, and that's not trusting God, and it is making you, your control of tomorrow is more important than trusting God is in control of them so that you can be in control of yourself today. And you don't even know if you'll see another day, so why waste your time worrying about it? Now that's scripture. Can you remember where? James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, the appearance for a little time, and then vanisheth away. You don't even know that tomorrow this is your life. So use it now, and use it well. Jesus says today in our text is sufficient. I don't know about you, but I am just so blessed to keep thinking about that. Today's sufficient. Today's enough. Yeah, but I didn't do what I thought I was going to get done today. But today's what it is. And that's what you did. And it's sufficient. Today, Jesus says, is sufficient for your thoughts and service. Let today be your life, beloved. It may be your last moment you ever live. Live in it. Teach us to number our days, right? Psalm 90. We had some quotes by William Secker recently on that. Live as if today may be your last. Live in today. Live with today. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Today is enough. That will help you relax and rest. And that'll help you put your hands to work and do the best you can. Because if you're a perfectionist like me, I know that might surprise you. Haven't gotten to a haircut in a while, you know. Haven't shined my shoes in a while. But you know, you tend to, if you don't think you can do it right, I don't know about you, but I tend to not start. And then nothing gets started, and nothing makes. I like to be able to focus on something and get it done. You know, I'm learning. I got to juggle things, and I keep a few balls in the air. Praise the Lord, you know. And whatever fell was supposed to just it can, somebody else can juggle those balls for a while. You know what I mean? And just live in today. It'll help you relax and rest so that you do better work with what you have. And you find a time to just take a nap and get some rest. Do the best you can. The little you are able to offer up today is enough for God. Something else I was thinking about. Whatever little thing you do for God today is way more significant to God, and he's pleased with compared to a pagan who's doing any mighty thing in the whole world. This doesn't mean God doesn't use these things. But in terms of that person in relation to God, he's not pleased with them. Go to Psalm 147. He does not rejoice in the legs of a horse or the strength of, strength of a horse or the legs of a man. He rejoices in those that fear him. So we know from our confession, it teaches us that good works are only good if they're in Christ. Otherwise, they are not good works. God is not pleased with them. Whatever they accomplish, however much they do, right? Do you ever find yourself looking at what everybody else does and say, how do they do it? I'm a buffoon. You know, put me in the zoo. That's where I belong, you know, especially if I haven't got my haircut. No, this is the thing. God is more pleased with you that you got out of bed today and you praised him and you read that little piece of a Bible verse before the baby screamed and the doorbell rang and the phone went off and you forgot till at night and you said, I'm sorry, Lord, but thank you. I love you. Good night. He is far more pleased with you. He's infinitesimally more pleased with you serving him in grace and belief. He is not pleased with anyone who accomplishes grandiose things, but it's not for the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13. If I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Even religious works, right? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, Jesus says. Related to that, I remember a sermon that was a help for me. Mark 14, verses 1 to 9. Don't have to turn there. I'll explain. Feel free to turn there. But Mark 14, 1 to 9. Lady had an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and broke it and poured it on Jesus' head to prepare him for his burial. Yes, it was very valuable to her, but in the grand scheme of things, people are like, why are you wasting our time? Why are you wasting your money? It was kind of considered an annoyance. Who are you? Get out of here. And Jesus said what? Let her alone. She hath done what she can. She hath done what she can. The sermon for that text was, love Jesus and do what you can. And what is the only time that you can do anything for Jesus? Now, today. As you break up your day and you pour it out for Jesus and his body, some of us in certain periods of life, that may just literally be getting out of bed and surviving literally and eating. But 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Break up your day, pour it out for Jesus and his body, the church. He says the same approving and affirming words to you. You did what you can. Let yourself alone. You did what you can. As you lay your head on your pillow each night, say to God, I have done what I can. I'm sorry it's not more, but thank you that it is enough. And rest assured that a day lived with faith in him is pleasing to him, while a day wasted on worry about tomorrow does not bring his approval. If you'll allow me to insert what I've shared before, I've heard it said that one man, I forget which story it was, a Christian servant, a minister, very busy in ministry. A lot of times when he went to bed, I believe it was a Puritan minister, when he went to bed, this was his closing prayer. Dear Lord, I'm tired. Amen. Sometimes that's enough. At least you acknowledged him. And he gives his beloved sleep. That's what we sang in Psalm 127. So don't stay up too late. Don't go to bed too early. Sometimes it's better and it takes more faith. Okay, you read a little bit of the Bible, devotional. That's enough. Put it down. Go to sleep. If you are trying to serve his kingdom today, Jesus says, let yourself alone. You have done what you can. And he promises to take care of you tomorrow, just as he has today and yesterday and all the years of your life. And he will give you all things you need each day for seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now that's the verse just before, verse 33. And I intended to go there earlier. Let me go there with you now. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do what you can for the Lord. Today is sufficient. Whatever he allowed you to get done today. And frankly, he lets us learn a lot of times through all of our failures and mistakes, mainly that we are completely dependent upon him. And if you're seeking first his kingdom and righteousness with all you're trying to do, even the basic ordinary things of life, remember how we looked at that study through the ordinary Christian, an ordinary life, an ordinary means of grace. He says it's enough. It's pleasing. Beloved, today is all you ever have to offer. Tomorrow's over, and you don't know if tomorrow, or yesterday's over, and you don't know if tomorrow's coming for you. Today is all you ever have to offer, whatever day today is. Tomorrow will take care of itself, and you will enjoy an eternal day at the resurrection. Let whatever you can't get to spill into tomorrow. You are not God. Can I say that again? Open your ears and let it hit your hearts. You are not God. And you and I sometimes need to say to ourselves, I am not God. I submit to God. I don't worry about tomorrow. I will let today be sufficient. Lord, I'm tired. Amen. Leave tomorrow and next week and next month and next year and the next decade and the rest of your life in God's hands. As the psalm says, my times are in your hand. And remember that Christ said on the cross at the last moment of his life, into thy hands I commit my spirit. You have enough to think about today. Enjoy your abundant life in Christ as you live your life one day at a time. Pace yourself. The scriptures speak about the Christian life as a marathon, not a sprint. Some of you and I, that's our problem. Like, I got to win, and I got to win now. And reality is, it isn't so much for God's glory as my glory. So he's going to let me trip and fall, give me a limp like Jacob, perhaps, and show his glory. As Paul says, okay, I rejoice in my infirmities and my weaknesses, because God says, in your weakness I show my strength. My grace is sufficient for you. And what is the only moment that you as a finite being can experience God's grace to be sufficient? Sufficient is today and the evil thereof. Live your life one day at a time. Keep speaking to yourself that you return and rest in your Savior and live one day at a time. God is in control. Jesus is on his throne. You are not God, but you are serving the Most High God. And what a privilege is that? That he is pleased in our little messy moments that seem like big messes to us. And maybe sometimes they are. Please don't come over till I've taken care of my desk. But at the end of the day, all we can do is live one day at a time. Christian, live your life one day at a time, looking for the eternal day when Christ will return for you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do confess to you that we worry and we make it our identity. We think anxiously and we miss our moments. We miss our moments of being able to enjoy one another. We miss our moments of forgiveness. We miss our moments of joy and peace and contentment. Lord, help us to take our moment, seize it for Christ, to beat our bodies into submission and take our minds into captivity under Christ, And remember to say to ourselves, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Let us look around and see how much we have for reason to be content. Let us look around at all our problems and challenges and remember if they were gone, so would be all that we have that are the cause for these things, and we would mourn and miss and regret. Help us to make the most of our moments. Help us to maximize what we have to do now. And let us accept it'll never be good enough according to me and us in the world. But Jesus says, let her alone. Let him alone. She or he has done what they can. Let us think about that as dads and moms leading our families and spiritual things and providing for our homes. Let us think about that as children doing our schoolwork and concerned of what we might not have got done, where we are not exactly according to the schedule, but we did get something done and we learned something today and we had a life to enjoy together and we did. We had food on our plates and in our bellies. We had pillows for our heads. We have more clothes than we need, and we continue to ship piles of them off to Goodwill. Lord, let us rejoice and be thankful in the moment that you would see fit to entrust us with more moments to serve you. And we do thank you, O Lord, that there is a day at your return where our bodies will be raised from the dead. We will not tire. We will not struggle. We will not worry. There will be no tears or death. We will enjoy the eternal day under the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. We will be surrounding the throne of God and of the Lamb, and we will be worshiping. We will eat of the tree of life. We will wade in the river of life. We will walk on pavings of gold, clear gold. Oh, Lord, help us to look forward to even that eternal rest will involve work, but it will be holy work, and we will not tire. And it will be particularly to serve and worship you. So we remember as we're studying in Exodus, you have delivered us out of this world to assemble and worship and serve you together. And our purpose in life, to glorify and enjoy you forever, will come to its fullness in eternity at your return. So we say, as your bride with the Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And we close praying as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.